Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Ryback Show Live. I'm your host, the big guy, Ryback, coming at you today. Happy, happy Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. We are streaming live on Instagram and TikTok, the big guy, Ryback 22. We've got them opposite sides today of where I'm recording. I've straightened it out for the YouTube version of the show. I've just trying a few different things for the background just continuously improving the Ryback Show. Hope everyone's doing good today. Just got back, got my coffee, took the dogs for their early afternoon walk. Hell of a start to the morning. Got a lot of work done. We got a lot more to do. Got a big, big leg session today and everything. We just keep it rolling, going into that WrestleCon appearance this weekend. This show, guys, is available on all podcast platforms. iTunes reviews are greatly appreciated. If you have a moment to give it a listen, listen through those about the minute and a half of ads on the front end. Guys, listen to the show for 30 seconds or a minute. Let's keep that show moving up the audio ranks as we have one of the most listened to wrestling podcasts overall on all platforms that it is distributed. But we got to get those audio numbers up. Those numbers do matter. The audio, all audio listens do matter. So let's keep that going. And iTunes reviews greatly, greatly help the cause on that. You guys are the co-host of this show here at Ryback TV on YouTube. The ebb and flow of the show goes where your questions go. Health, fitness, supplementation, pro wrestling, sports, and anything and everything in between. This show, this podcast, is brought to you by my Feed Me More Nutrition, my premium supplement line, sweet with stevia and monk fruit. No harmful artificial sweeteners or colors. Vegan friendly for all people, men and women, he, she, and thee on feedmemore.com. New customers can save 30% discount code Ryback30, Ryback30. Returning customers can save 20% discount code FeedMe20, FeedMe20. Get a free bottle still to the end of the month of our 1-2-3 muscle joint tendon support. Great for people with muscle aches and pain, tendon pain, and arthritis. Check that out. A $44.99 value, yours free. Just add it to your cart when it pops up as it says free gift. My gift, saying thank you for shopping the best supplements on the planet, along with all the Ryback merch and accessories that we have over there on FeedMeMore.com. Hashtag hungry. All right. Let's get going. Let's rock and roll. Super chats are always greatly appreciated. The big guy's Starbucks and shoulder scar tissue relief fund as we continue to move forward of overcoming the impossible. And I'm looking forward to my big WrestleCon appearance Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Everything is ready to go. And I'm hoping we do meet some great people. I know that's going to happen already because it happens at every meet and greet. I genuinely look forward to talking. And even if you don't have money for pictures and autographs, I say this all the time. You are more than welcome to come over and come say hello, shake my hand if you want to shake my hand. And if you have something you want to talk about, more than happy. I've always prided myself on like those interactions, and I truly, thoroughly enjoy them. So we charge as everyone charges. That is what it's for, everyone there. But it's because so a lot of people don't understand why you, for meet and greets, you're paying to meet a person at a specific location because if like otherwise you may never meet them, right? And that's what meet and greets are for. It's for people in a certain location that would never get an opportunity to probably meet that person, or very rare, unlikely that they would meet them, to pay for that opportunity to do so. And many people love it and enjoy it and have no problem with it. For those of you that don't like it, if you don't have the funds, that's okay. You don't have to. That doesn't mean you can't come over and come say hello. I don't know that it's like, I've never, like a lot of people like to remember the experience. There's never any reason to ever hate though. And I see it with everybody. They're like, what are these people charging? Because everyone has to make a living and it's everybody's time and energy, but you're meeting for a specific time and location. That is what meet and greets are for. And it's for you to be able to share something that you might want to tell them, that thank you to them, something that meaningful in their life that they did, whether it was from a book they wrote, a podcast they did, a supplement line they created, or a memory that you have of them that really resonated with you from pro wrestling, right? Or anything and everything in between all of that. So that is what meet and greets are for. And that's what's going on at WrestleCon Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm pumped. 9-to-5 Friday, 9-to-2 Saturday, 9-to-2 Sunday. And here we go. All right. Starting off, we've got a wrestling question. During live events, how do you get used to the cameras being close to your face while walking down the ramp? You literally don't even. It's like breathing. You don't even think about it after. I think maybe initially when you first get into wrestling and like in developmental, they get you used to that in developmental though. You've got cameras around. There's not as many, but it's the same setup kind of like that was something. And I was in three different developmental territories and got different experiences from each place with it. By the time you get to TV, you're already like, maybe not in everyone's case, but in mine, I was already ready to go. You don't think about it because this is what professionals do. You do something over and over and over consistently and then it's just secondhand. Like I can go out and I don't once when I'm out there and in the ring and you got a live microphone and you see the red light on the camera and you know that red light means you're being broadcasted to millions and millions of people live. Like, but when you're out there and like, this is something at times, sometimes people take a while to get used to being on TV and whatnot though. But once you start doing it week in and week out and you're just constantly in front of people all the time, it's effortless. It's absolutely effortless because you're so prepared. You know what you're doing. You're so confident that there's nothing that can go wrong. And even if it does go wrong, that's what I do. Like if I ever mess up anything I'm doing, I'll just hit my head and go stupid, botch. You're like, it messes, who cares? Literally. But if you're prepared and you know what you're going to say, it's not, I don't know. And you're not worried, but your brain, what I'm getting at is like, you're not like out there and like, you got to say your lines or you got to say, you know, what your bullet points. You're not like, and I'm sure this has happened to people and they freeze and things. If like a deer in headlights look and like, if you see that, cause they have cameras, they might have two cameras on like a camera on side of you. And then they might have the hard cam shot, but what they'll do is like, they're so good at zooming in and out to like, so if you're on the hard cam, the guys that are in the ring, they'll back up and the camera shot will come in and they won't be is the focal point or they won't even be seen. But then you're talking and you're doing, and you're trying to you got lines, you might have a camera like right in your face on either side and talking, you have to be so zoned in and focused that you can't be like, oh my God, there's a camera in my, what was my line? Oh my God, what was my line? Everybody is looking at me. That red light means millions of people are watching me. What is going on? Like, but that's preparation and confidence and consistency of doing it and being in practicing it. That's the stuff you guys don't see on it. And then you get out there, but like you, that's why you should have the respect for everybody that even gets to that point, because so much work has been done for the most part for anyone that's been in the business and come up through developmental, like the amount of work that has to be put into to even get there and make it look easier than it is. Right. So I remember when I was younger and I remember right before I got signed for Tough Enough, after I knew I wanted to to be a wrestler, but I knew I had to, I always, you know, I could always speak and talk, but never, like, I never cared to, like, go up in front of class and like, when you have to do that. And I was always able to, but I didn't really, like, I didn't do it a lot, didn't have to do it a lot growing up with it. So I remember I took a public speaking class right before I got into wrestling, and it had to do some speaking pretty consistently on a weekly basis in front of like a fairly large group of people, which is nothing like wrestling, but that was kind of, I wanted at least a little experience on that, get a little feedback back. And then you get into wrestling and you do that every week with promos and, you know, in doing that in front of your peers and people that you might not be comfortable with. And then you do it in front of shows, in front of people, and they build you up and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then, you know, it's not like you just take someone and go throw them out there and go. I mean, it can happen, but the odds of it being as good as it can be are not as good as if somebody's trained. And again, a lot of people that are trained still don't get it. There's only a small group of those that they think they're going to get it that actually get it. And, you know, but that was why, like, you remember when Paige came back in AEW and a lot of people, like, overly judgmental and critical, she and everyone handles stuff differently. And this is one of the reasons I love doing this show live and talking. It keeps me sharp. This is one of my big reasons. And it keeps me going and it keeps me comfortable with talking. Because the more you do this, the easier it gets. And so, like Paige, when Paige came back and you go out there and you're in front of people again, you can get a little bit nervous if you're not like haven't done it in a while with it. And then as you do it more and more, then it all comes back and you get comfortable. And everyone has different levels of that and how being away can affect them and different things. But I remember that's why I was like, I spoke up about it when it was like, man, everyone back off. Like that stuff, like you have no clue. And I know you're watching the professional level and one, it wasn't bad at all. I thought it was more than fine, but two, people are just too overly judgmental and non-understanding of what it actually takes. So you get used to it. Good to see all of you guys. Hello. Hello. Looking at your chats and your questions here. All hail King Ryback. Thank you very much. Very kind of you to say. When I'm watching live from home and it goes to commercial break, do you all stop wrestling or continue? I'm guessing since you have a live audience in the ring, you still continue wrestling. Yeah. And they've got picture in picture on all the shows now that shows you that they wrestle. So you can't, I mean, that's just common sense and logic. What are you going to, you can't just stop. You can do things. You don't do as much stuff that you would do on TV. You know, for like WWE before they did picture in picture, which I'm not necessarily a fan of the picture in picture. I'd rather just go to break because it's so small. And I would work the same way in picture in picture as I would as it goes to break. And most of the guys, because it's just not worth doing unless it's a specific spot that they want you to do to show coming back on replay, which they will do sometimes. But typically in what it was. With when it would crash to break and you've got a, was it 3 minute commercial break or 2 minute commercial break? You would usually kind of work small in that you would grab a hold, you'd work a couple holds in there and then you'd have a couple little spots, but nothing too extravagant in that. And then what you will do is you'll time it. The referee will tell you, we've got 30 seconds till break, grab the hold back. And so you want what you, and you get good at this, the more you do it. And you then try to get into the hold and get it so that when you're coming back from break that, and it's not the same thing every time, but you typically, if you want to get it going in action on it, because I'm going to tell you two different scenarios where you do this. One, you're coming and they want the crowd and to kind of be hot and coming as they come back from break, and it would be kind of the baby face or who the heel has the hold on, they start cheering, coming up, they might start fighting back, but you try to time it where you're getting to that point is close to coming, like the ref will go, we're back, and then you'll know that like the guy's already kind of there, or he's just getting ready to kind of start kind of trying to fight out of the hold, right? Well, that the other scenario is they might need to talk about something. coming back from break, and they might, you might have done one or two things that they wanted to do that they're going to during the break. Ryback took so and so's head off, and there's a clip of blah bam bam, and the referee or the announcers are talking, and they might need like 15 seconds. So the referee might communicate, just stay small for 15 seconds, or in whatever verbiage that is, and you're just in a hold, and you're just working the hold, and you're looking around, but you're not doing anything. You're letting the commentators take care of the TV portion of the thing. And then the referee would be like, all right, let's go. And like, this is little stuff that goes on all throughout that you just get good at. And that you just, and then the referees are so damn good, all of them that I've ever worked with, man. And they're just so good TV wise because they've all been doing it. And even the new refs were great with it. And they, in giving you your cues, and you get good at that stuff, man, as time goes on with it. But yeah, you work through the break. You don't just stop and like grab a microphone and me and Kevin Owens are wrestling and during break, and they're like, all right, like the audio, the producer, guys, break, cut, and we just like stop everything we're doing. I'm like, Kevin, are you okay? He's like, yeah, Ryan, I'm absolutely fine. I think this is going really good. You know, Kevin, I think it's going really good too. But guys, how do you guys think this is going so far? Me and Kevin are really enjoying this out here. And then do like a 2 or 3 minute like Q&A during the break. And then right before we go to break, I cheap shot Kevin on the microphone and the crowd goes, aha, he got him. And then I go back to the hold and we come up from the hold. But none of you at home know that's what's really going on during that live audience. All right. But yeah, that's hello. Good to see all of you. All right, Patrick, we're going to ask you, we're going to put Patrick in timeout. Patrick felt the need to tell me he loves me over and over. We don't discriminate. You are going to get a meat hook. I'm not going to shell shock you out of Rybackville yet, Patrick, but you will have an opportunity to come back and be a normal acting member of Rybackville. Let me see here. I'm going, oh, we got a big super chat here. You guys are going to drive me crazy with this. I can already tell. Jesus. Jacob Mobley, thank you for the super chat. Hey, Ryback, I was a big fan of yours during the WWE run. Recently, Rene DePriest, co-host, has either messaged or emailed you about being on his podcast. Rene always liked you. Much love, big guy. Yeah, we talk about this now the like last 2 or 3 shows with you guys. Thank you. I've already told you I'm not doing anything right now. When I tell you guys when I'm doing stuff, I'll do something with it. I'm doing my show right now. I'm very busy running Feed Me More Nutrition, getting ready to go back to wrestling. If I want to do interviews, I will do interviews. I'm a grown man, 41 years old. Ray, it does nothing looks worse. Like I love Renee. Renee's great. We get along. There's no issues. I'm not doing any shows right now. So you guys don't need to say his co-host emailed you. Like, don't worry about it. When I'm doing interviews, we're doing interviews with it. I just tell you guys straight up, like, chill out on that shit, man. It's stupid. Like, I would feel like I too either want to be like, hey guys, go tell Rene Dupree that I would love to have him on my show. No, I would just message him or do it myself with it. Like, let them, if they do that and I get back to them, great. You guys don't like, God damn, what are we doing here? One person tells me I got the information. If 100 of you, it doesn't change anything. Doesn't make me want to go do it any quicker. I will do interviews when I'm doing interviews. And I've already said I will do them with the wrestling shows like him, like keeping it 100 over like the Mark and Dirt Sheet thing. So don't worry. Paul, we talk about that all the time. We're going to get Paul out of here. I don't like Paul very much. Shell shocked Paul. Oh God. Let's get more normal people in here, please, guys. More normal people here into the Ryback show. Sweet Sugar Sugaroo in the house. Thank you to everybody over on TikTok. I will say I want to talk about a few things today. TikTok, what I'm not going to be doing anymore because I've noticed a trend with what they're doing. And I think this is, I'm not going to actually speak too much on this because I feel like that sometimes isn't good to do with what's going on. But essentially TikTok kept giving me community guidelines every portion of time. And they would even go back and do old videos. And they used to all get overruled and like they would be fine. What they started doing is they started recently, I picked up a trend on the videos where I hit my head. They will not take down the original video that I stitch, but they're citing me with promoting dangerous acts, activities and things. And I believe, and so what they're doing is they found a way to take my most popular videos and take them away from me to keep me continuously shadow banned. So we're going to be adjusting up some things and they're not going to stop and we're going to get the views and we're not going to let them keep doing this because it's not right. And with everything else going on all the social media platforms, but I've noticed some trends. And also on YouTube, we're going to make sure I got to time my videos and my, where I don't post my shorts for some notifications, because if they're wasting notifications on the shorts, they are then not going to the videos as they should be appropriately. So I got to make sure that all attention goes to these videos, the show, the feeding time, and then do the shorts very sparingly on there as well, and give them zero reasons to keep trying to justify anything of what's going on. So I do want to talk about, I saw today, thank you, Jex Gaiman, saying you like the new camera angle. Just slight adjustment. Everything was centered already in my podcast studio where I've been in here for years in the different formats. And I'm like, why don't I just do a straight on shot? I think because of how I used to do the show, because that camera used to be hard cam. So I always had my computer off to the side so that I was that. And I always kind of just stuck with that. And I go, no, the show now is with the camera right here on me. I'd rather just square away and kind of see the back of the podcast studio as a whole. So that's all we're doing. Today I noticed I was really happy on what I saw on Raw with Bobby Lashley and Omos. I'm really excited for this WrestleMania match. I think that there's going to be a lot of attention. I love the fact that Brock is really, they're painting a really, really clear picture that Brock Lesnar cannot manhandle or get his way with Omos. And they're truly, truly hyping up Omos that like this is, it looks really good going into this. And if you notice last night on Raw, where the crowd started chanting for Brock when he got out of the ring for Suplex City, right? So rather than just let him go out there and do everything all the time going into it, he's not pulling off his stuff that he routinely pulls off. Now the crowd is wanting to see, can he even do this to him? Is he? How's Omos going to react when he does this? Got to tune into WrestleMania to see what happens. So that's where I even though it hasn't been the longest build in the world, I think it's very simple, effective booking going on with this match. And I watched that last night and I just go, I really like how they've done this. I like how Brock has gone into this in doing it. Now, is Brock, you know, unless he's leaving, the chances are that he's going to win. But I feel like if he does this match, and this is how I would do this match with it, is let him just throw you around and dominate you until the very end. If Brock is going over, let him really, really like put it to Brock and be very careful not to make a lot of covers and do this in positions so that Brock isn't always kicking out. But finally something happens with Omos late in the match, whatever the time is, if it's a 12 or 15 minute match, say, and that something towards the end and something, what I would do is I would actually let Omos get blood if you're going to beat him and start bleeding at some point. And where Brock starts, he's fatiguing fast. And then that is a great way out for him that at some point, like, he just lost too much blood and Brock, he couldn't overcome Brock. Right. But if that didn't happen, he would have beat him easy. And everyone's, you know what, that to me is, if you're going to beat Omos, is how I would do it, or something along the lines. And I love if you do with blood, because the two of like Brock, they have to do something where Brock has to finally, like, he needs something to happen in his favor to make these odds a little more even. and you keep Omos a monster. Granted, he still loses another big one, but it's done. It's such a dominant fashion up to that point that it will actually, he'll come out of it even better. So I'm but even that said, I think Omos could use a huge win right here. Omos could use a huge win, because wins and losses do matter in pro wrestling at the right times, and this is one of those times where it could really matter for him. But we'll have to wait and see. And again, the reasoning on that is because he lost to Bobby, lost to Braun, and this is the third one. And is it strike three? I don't think so on it. But it does delay, you know, things. But it, again, a lot gets factored in to that. When the Ryback trademark is finalized, does WWE owe you royalties for past or future use on the network Peacock? No, so should they? Yes, they should. But what they won't, because they quit making anything like merchandise wise when I left with it, which is how this all ruled in my favor, because they got caught lying to the USPTO. So essentially, though, they should have ended this fairly early. And in 2019, early 2020, like if they were good human beings, like they already knew they were losing. What they did is they made it drag on until the very end so that I would have to spend is the most amount of money possible, which, again, I've said this. The reason I did everything I've done in with everything in the USPTO is I had an idea of how much money that was going to be at the most if this went on the whole way, where I just said, let's do it. So I knew what I was in for if it got that whole way, which I was expecting them to do what they did on it, and they lived up to who they are, like always, and they kept it going and kept it going and kept it going, so that I would have to spend as much money as possible, and then right before it goes to decision, which they're going to lose, so rather than it publicly going to decision and them looking bad and losing, which was 1,000% going to happen, they then abandon it last second because they got what they want on me spending the money. They knew they were going to lose the whole time anyways with all of it, and right? And then they can go, oh, we just didn't want it. Even though they go, we want to repair the relationship. We want to get, no, oh, we didn't want it. But that's why they did what they did on that. Doesn't matter to me. I got what I wanted, what I created, right, with that. So, and why that's so powerful is now I can license this out. I have my own merch store. I can make my own wrestling merchandise at any point in time for me. If I'm doing something on TV, if I'm working with a company, they can license that out for a year, for 2 years, for 3 years, whatever they like. We want to do on it. Doesn't affect me with my licensing, what I'm doing with it. And then if I want to go and if I want to license thing with multiple companies, I could do that. I don't think people truly genuinely understand how valuable this truly is. And it's a very, very good thing. One, two, and from, even though I'll be out of wrestling close to 7 years on TV, one good year can just surpass what everybody's doing if I do this right with everything. And it's because everything with owning everything, having the business, the supplements and different things, there's in the podcast, there's revenue that just the floodgates can just with that, which is why you build and hustle and work and grind away for years and do these things while you're getting your health back and whatnot. But they the royalty checks from WWE died very quickly. I still get one four times a year. Every 3 months? Every quarterlies. Yeah. So 4 times a year there, I'll get the sheet of everything. And I mean, we're down to, I think, you know, it went from six figures being there to nothing, because it's, I don't know, maybe under $1,000 for the year, maybe a little more. I can't even, it's like literally nothing with that, but like it's, you're getting quarters or pennies on things, and that adds up to a little bit here and there, but nothing ever to, like, it just gets sent off to the taxes and that's it, you know, with that. But all that worked in my favor by them, because they abandoned it. And this is what I've told everyone: when they realized that I was walking out and I owned already the majority of my brand, and then when they realized what I was doing with my name, and I changed it with that, which I'd always wanted to do, and they told me to put it off. This was all in everything with the proceedings that with that, and their bullying and things they do along the way, and that we just tell the truth. That's all you had to do. And with all of that. But anyways, it's going to be very good for me here to have all of this. And I'm looking forward to the future. And, but they were, when they knew they were going to lose all that, and I walked out and then my name, that's why when they signed the social media threat to give them all my social media, which they've never done this to another talent. They did this with an NDA, and they wanted me to give them all my social media accounts at the time. And the NDA that I would not going to speak on any of this. And they got denied. And the moment they got denied, they realized, they go, that's when they went in, they shifted it and go, destroy his social media, disconnect him from his audience. We're going to damage his brand. They put out all the lies on, and we've seen what people, and we got a lot of them taken down. I had to pay a lot of money to get these taken down, and they just kept putting them up. And I go, I'm just going to have to just ride this out. And that's why my attention on, like, in early on, it was more frustrating when I hear the negative and hateful things. Now it doesn't even faze me. Like, I'm so untouchable on all of this, but like the, because I've had so much practice and so much self-development on all of this but the creating the hate and trying to damage your brand and things. And when you can't do anything about it, because your health is in horrible and you're literally at your worst and people are just coming at you, and nope, your good fans aren't hardly seeing you with all of that. Right. And so it just, I just went one day at a time. I focused on what I could focus on and control on that, and to the best of my ability. And here we are with it. But this is what the game is being played. This is all a game to Vince. And this is what, if you ever hear like 50 Cent talk about how the elites act in billionaires do sneaky things like this. And Vince is obsessed with perception and brand. And Hunter's talked about this. They always, to me, always would preach this over and over. This is their 48 laws of power. They didn't think too, if I was never going to be able to come back, they go, well, make sure he'll never be able to make a living doing anything. Because Vince thinks that if he wants attention, because Vince always was like things with attention, and Vince, like, Ryback wants attention with it. And that's why, remember I talked about this on Main Event, where he had me go around the ring four times during the show. It made no sense at all. I was with Axel, I think, or something. I had my heel by myself though, my Bully Ryback jacket, and something happened in the meeting, or I made a tweet, one of the tweet and deletes, where Vince thought I wanted attention, and Vince, guy, he wants attention, put him on Main Event the whole show. And they had me interrupting all the matches, which, by the way, felt horrible for all the talent. None of the talent, because my music would hit. I'd go around the ring, jaw-jacking, talking trash to fans, and then go right back to the back. Made no sense at all. Everybody, they're like, what's going on? I go, Vince thinks I want attention on it. And so I go, let's go give me some attention with it. And I go, literally, I don't care if you guys don't stop your match. I go, keep wrestling. I go, who cares? Don't listen. I go, don't pay any attention. I go, this is one of his little things with it. But so if he thinks I want attention, that's his way of like taking the attention away from me with it. And it just, they don't realize, man, that his stuff don't work on me. It's not, I'm far above it and far past him in many, many ways. And he is not as evolved as he is successful and wealthy. I could tell you that much. So horrible human being though. And he has to deal with the punishment and his fate when his day comes, and he knows it's coming sooner rather than later. So that's that. But I'll have that trademark in 1 to 2 months tops, and we'll go from there. Appreciate everybody joining on TikTok, streaming live. Swing over to Ryback TV and subscribe. Turn on those notifications. I also liked last night, I thought Becky Lynch, great intensity and fire on her promo last night. I've always liked Becky. Me and her always got along when she was there, and very sweet, nice girl and nice woman, and very happy for her and Seth. As I always got along great with Seth on everything, and enjoyed wrestling him. And it looks like we got another spammer, but so I'm very happy for them, and I enjoyed her promo on Raw as well. I saw too that Moxley, Renee's podcast, The Sessions. John was on the podcast. I actually listened to it. The beginning of it this morning, John kind of just went, as John can get pretty fiery on when he does. John doesn't live on social media too much, but I feel like when John does see social media, he gets fired up over it, because he talks about it. And I already know everything he goes through with that, because I've dealt with it nonstop ever since I got into wrestling, as most wrestlers do. But CM Punk, I guess, made some Instagram post, and but John was just kind of talking. He just kind of like just gave the information that he wasn't under contract when all that was going on, and explained how that happened, and that it was like just all BS and drama, and like he was doing AEW a favor essentially by working without a contract. And he didn't go into details like on the Punk stuff. Doesn't even say Punk's name, but he's clearly talking about him because when they worked. And but you could just tell like this is just saying it's all BS and drama, and like, and that's why I've always loved John and get along with him, love wrestling him, and he always is he entertains me. Like whenever I haven't been around John, you know, when he used to drink on the buses, and there was clearly John Moxley with a couple drinks in him or a few drinks in him. I always, even though he was always cool without it, and we were never overly close, but we had conversations enough. And like, he rode back with me from California once when he caught a ride, because we were leaving the show. We did whatever SmackDown, the tour. We just got done with a 4 or 5 day loop, and we were in Fresno or something. And then I drove my vehicle on the loop, my truck at the time. And he goes, "Oh, you mind if I ride home with you?" Because he wanted to get home rather than do his flight. He can get home that night. And like, yeah. And we had a good conversation that ride, and about a lot of things. That's where he told me some things about the Shield, where they went and got the finish change of the Elimination Chamber after. And I'd had a conversation with him about going and talking to Vince, because that was where Roman speared me, and they got with Seth, and I pulled him on top of me. And they were sitting in the locker room, and they were really, I could tell, frustrated. All my stuff was going on with Vince and Cena and everybody. And I go, "You guys should go talk to Vince on it. At least get some answers on," because Cena was getting ready to put the deal on them. Cena was going to pin them. That would have been their loss. And they knew that could be the beginning of everything. And they needed to be protected still with it. And I just had my stuff. I'm seeing what's kind of going on, but I was over already at this point. And I'm like, I didn't think that they were going to put it on me. And I didn't realize the magnitude of everything going on with my situation still. And, but I remember he kind of just said, he just let me know that he goes, "Yeah, we went in there and they changed it to put it on you." But that was, I kind of was aware of them. They were going to go in, because I'd talked to them prior and said, I'd go talk to Vince on it. So it was, but just talking about that stuff, we've always gotten along with everything. And he's always spoken very positively about me. And I've always appreciated that, because it's just the truth of our interactions have always been good with that. And been in a ring with them many, many times. But I side with him. Like, essentially, John doesn't, like, there's no BS and drama in the real world. And John's just a good guy. Like, and he's a hardworking guy, and he loves pro wrestling with it. But in this, there's all this BS and negativity online and people in the business. And what I believe in stuff like with Punk, he's a drama queen. And it, people don't realize, and like, a lot of you guys like to, he has all these issues with everybody. And I'll read some of them. Some of you will go, yeah, but he was right about Ryback. No, he's a liar. He lied to you. I know you think you saw him not go through the table perfectly, and that's true. He didn't, but he landed on padding. I didn't get any trouble over this. Everything went as planned. The table still broke. We just didn't go through it as straight as we wanted to on that. But he lied and said, "I dropped him on concrete," to make that part look worse than it actually was. He landed on padding. On padding. But you guys don't see this in that. And then like, this all would have came out there, and it didn't, right? That's because it never, there was nothing. There was nothing. But you believe the lies. And I could just tell John, and getting, that's where you're seeing this stuff with Punk and AEW. And like, I'll never tell, I never will say like nobody should hire somebody, because I think that's very, very, that's a low place to go. Like stuff that Henry did with like, and tried to do it earlier, which wild the time, and not even knowing like that's not happening anyways with my health at the time years ago with everything. But there's drama and controversy that comes with him, because if he's not the focal point of attention, he just it doesn't go well. And it's just, this has happened time and time again. And people too, I think now are more likely not to, like, after they saw kind of what happened with UFC and everything, I don't think people, even if Not that he was ever intimidating, but they're now not certainly not intimidated. So I think more people are just like, who's this guy with it? And so, but the truth always wins. Stuff's coming out. Essentially, John's like BS and drama. Like, he doesn't need to be dealing with it. None of us do. And I think with that other guy, there's a lot of BS and drama. Doesn't mean he still can't do great TV and do things, but there's a lot of BS and drama with that. And you got to be careful with people like that, that don't fit into the team picture. That because as much as wrestling is an individual sport, it is a team effort, and you've got to have people that are, that's why I talk about it, it's physical acting. You've got to understand that there's a time and a place that, like, unless you sign up for a specific role, your role is going to adjust in pro wrestling with it, right? And it's up, you got to, there's levels to it, and there's got times you got to know when to talk, when not to talk, when it's not about you, and these are, you know, but John's awesome, and go listen to it. It was a good listen. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Ryback Show. What I might do is actually adjust the screen back a little on the questions. All right, there we go. I can see that a little better now. Evan, you can buy shirts whenever you want to buy shirts, Evan. I'll never tell you to go. You go buy my shirts right now. Evan, you buy the shirts when you're ready. That's all that matters. What did I think of Finley? I love his entrance. My name is Finley, and I love to fight. Always was a fan of Finley's. I like Finley in WCW. I always was a fan. I just thought from just the bleached hair to the Irish singlet to his style, I just thought he was vicious and he was intense, and I just always enjoyed his style of pro wrestling, and his WWE run was very entertaining and more character stuff with that too. But that, and he was going out there working live events, and he worked with a lot of guys early on. I know Lashley worked with him a bit, and like they would put guys with him when he was working that they wanted to get good, because they could see what the potential is in those guys, how they respond to being in there with a veteran like Finley, and you either would get better quick, or they would know with certain guys that wasn't going to be the case and whatnot, and then use them maybe in a different role or whatnot. So, but if they have guys like they were like really keen on pushing, and like we're going to push them, so let's get them on live events. And they may do that before they even debut guys. They would put guys with Finley and let them work a few house show loops, a few weekends or a few months with them, and really and see and help their development. And but that's like, man, that guy, he was great. Him and Hornswoggle together, I always enjoyed it. Always enjoyed it. And then, and just, he looked the part, he fit it, and his style, his intensity, that shines and stands out. And the guys that can do that now will stand out more than ever in pro wrestling with everything. Because you have a lot of guys that can do a lot of acrobatic spots. And I think the right ones at the right time that don't sacrifice the business by guys standing around forever to pull off the move, which I think happens a lot now with certain people that do really, really, really cool spots that they'll require precise timing and like landing in position. So what you're seeing is guys, they don't move because if they're selling or moving, there's a chance that spot might not come off as well. In my opinion, you just shouldn't do spots like that. And that sacrifice the business a little bit and try to find more organic, natural ways to doing it. But everyone has their own thing, and some talents get better with this the more they do. But like, I just think like the doing all the in-between things and the strikes and everything, your movements to shooting guys into a buckle to selling and really selling in things. I just think like if you could deliver your offense in a very believable, intense manner that you can stand out. Sometimes the focal point just gets put onto all the dives and everything, but the other stuff doesn't look as good. in that. And that's up to where that's the stuff that if that looks good first, and then you put in the other stuff here or there, that's where the magic happens. In Finley, you don't even need that other stuff if you do all that stuff right. And Finley was one of those guys. Finley didn't need to do one crazy thing with it, but you watch that match because why? Because it's believable. And that's, but it's good to have a balance and let everyone your style. But like, whether you're the greatest high flyer in the world, you should still strive to have your offense be believable and with a focal point on selling. And two, another thing too, like, and I know everyone has their different theories, and like, I've always, just from what I've seen, and I know from matches, people, they don't remember a lot. If you're going to do, like, I wouldn't try to do 10 really cool things in a match outside of, like, as far as like crazy things, I would like, what do I want people to remember the most out of this? And whether it's the you're winning and doing something really cool going into the finish with that, or if you're going to be on the losing end, having a spot that really is going to, that people are going to remember. And so it's like, if you're going to have one really cool thing, and other than that, you're focusing on being believable on everything else and selling as good as you could sell, but you're going to pull off one amazing high flying thing, bam, bam. And then people are going to really, really remember that. Like, and that the match was really good. And, but if you do 10, 20, 30 things, so much gets lost, but everyone has their own preference and way to work and style. And I just can control what I can control. Right. And that's just what, how I was brought up and how I view it. But welcome. Good to see all of you. We've got another super chat here. ACW Online, thank you very much. Did you like the finish to your match with Punk and Hell in a Cell with the crooked referee? Did it hurt your momentum during your winning streak? Well, I could tell you, we've talked about this. So did I like my finish? So I thought they, not knowing at the time that I was going to lose like 6 or 7 or 8 pay-per-views in a row with all of this. I think if I'm not mistaken, I lost, and this is going from undefeated to being red hot and a lot of momentum and continuing to raise that momentum, even despite pay-per-view losses, because I was still being really booked really good on TV with that. But I think I lost 6 pay-per-views or 8. It was 6 going into the Cena program. And then that, the one was like a draw, but essentially didn't win the title. And the next one was the 3 Stages of Hell, which he put me through the ambulance and got me 2-1 on that. Right, but I did have a pinfall victory over him on that, which was, it still looked really strong, but that, depending on what you do after that, has to be solid with that. And after the Jericho thing, it was, and even going into that, it was, you know, but the finish I thought we did a good job, because it wasn't going to be for me. I found out that day, like everybody else, I didn't know if they were going to put the title on me. I didn't read dirt sheets or anything, have any idea, I don't even know if I was using my Twitter at that point in time. I had it, but I didn't start using that until later, I think, more often, and like not having it on my phone, because I was just busy going, and I didn't want to hear, I didn't want to see all the BS and anything. And I found out that day though, what we were doing. And most that day, after we found out, it was putting together the match, and it was meeting with Vince a couple times by myself. Vince wanted to see me and just talk to me. And they wanted, I remember he wanted the match under 10 minutes because I'd been killing people, and he didn't think Punk should be in there long with me, but it wanted to be where he's essentially running from a horror monster, kind of fighting and getting killed. And, that was what though they came up with using the referee and both of them pinning me, like screwing me out of it. And then you saw after they had me destroy Maddox, chase Punk, get Punk up there, and then end the pay-per-view with me shell shocking Punk on the cage, going off on the pay-per-view with me. Right. But it was great, all of that. And that booking would have been fine had the booking following been better. Ideally, we could have done everything we did exactly the same. Even the debut of the Shield, when I had Cena, beat, and the Shield came and attacked me and then it put me through the table. And then Punk went and covered Cena and kept the championship, if I'm not mistaken, on that. We could have done that all the way until we did the TLC match on Raw, which was supposed to be the TLC pay-per-view, but Punk's knee was hurt. Not for me. That was prior to anything with me, and they just used me to write him off of TV for the people out there that still think I hurt Punk's knee with this. That had nothing to do with me at all on it, but we did the TLC match, and then they had the lights go off, and I was going to win the title again, and the Shield on the ladder, which and then put me down through the steps and the table, right? And then Punk holds on. And then like, if we would have pulled the trigger there, that everything would have been fine because we were red hot still. Still, if we want to go one step further, we could have kept everything the same and had me lose all the way up until WrestleMania with Henry. That finished, though, and it was done. And I've talked about this time and time again. I didn't trip and fall on my face and botch my own finish. That was the planned finish. I tried to talk to Vince. I did talk to Vince, and he explained to me, because I go, this is horrible. I go, you're making me fall on my face at WrestleMania with my own finish. Where like I go, this, like, there's no way around it. He goes, no, it's meant that you fell on your face. He goes, you failed as a good guy to win the big one. And this is gonna fuel your heel run, which was being sold to me of, this is the big, we're going to put the everything together and we're going to get the title because we're going into a feud with Cena. So that was why I agreed to do that finish at WrestleMania. Had I known what they were going to do, I would have just said, let Mark hit me with his finish at WrestleMania. Don't, I'm not going to do that with my finish. But with what they go, I go, I'm a professional. That's what you want. That's what we'll do on it. But I was sold a false bill of landing, so to speak, on that after all, and not getting the title with it. So in that case, everything hurts that momentum because we didn't pay it off. And there's a lot of people, young fans, that do that. I was their hero, the taking on all the bad guys and the Shield by myself and getting the better of them a lot, but losing the big one with it. And we never let me recapture that or revisit that storyline. And that's where I remember I told you guys where I saw that kid in the gas station. And it was some time had passed, and he goes, are you ever going to get revenge on the Shield? And I just looked at him and I go, kid, sometimes the bad guys just win in this business. And he was sad. I'm not going to lie to him. I wasn't going to say, but I just told him, I go, sometimes the bad guys win. I'm teaching him a valuable lesson in life. Doesn't mean I'm giving up or stopping, but for that particular thing, the bad guys won, which I played the role of helping make the Shield early on in their development with that and played a significant role. And I'm very proud of that. Because all three of those guys are amazing, but it's just physical acting. Granted, but so it was, you know, having to, I could look at all that and I'm proud of everything because I know what it is and with it being, but it's from a character standpoint, and it would have been nice to pay that off. Yes. Welcome to the Ryback Show for our listeners. Goldberg's great. I've met him once at WrestleCon 2018 when he got inducted. And he came over to me and we shook hands and met each other for the first time. And I was always I thought that was very cool of him to come over and say hello because he didn't have to. And I know that early on we talked about, like, I've never disliked Goldberg ever. I just know I was never trying to be him. I laughed because I don't, not anything that I ever once think like that. I think maybe we just have some similarities in it. And like, it's, but nothing was ever like B. Goldberg, do Gold, like nothing. I just think there's some similarities. And I think that it's a compliment in that because of matching that intensity or reminding people of that. But I know I told you guys the interview I did when I first started doing media, I didn't realize people kind of how they'll fish because I wasn't aware of like how these dirt sheets and stuff. I'm just living in the real world. I wasn't social media savvy like I am now on it, nowhere near that. And I remember I was doing a sports radio interview, and one of the guys that it was, I don't know who it was, one of them, a football guy, and I don't know if he, I think he played in the NFL, and with the regular host, sports radio host, and they, like, it was just something like, about Goldberg. I didn't even know like that was a thing. Like there's something that just started, and like they said something about Goldberg, and I'm just like kind of in the interview. I'm just having my morning coffee. I'm not thinking about anything like with the time, but I'm just like answering things confidently. And it was something like, do you think you're a better athlete than Goldberg? It was something and like not, you know, whereas if something like that happened now, it's just kind of like, I know what you're doing. You're fishing for something to try to get a clickbait headline to try, you know what I mean? And so me not knowing and not really understanding that that was probably something that could have happened, and being a baby face too, right? Not really. It's not like I'm being a heel. Like I'm not a heel at the time. And I try to do those interviews just kind of, I've always just tried to be myself. And early on, I probably was a little more in character at times of being more serious, but I just remember saying, oh, I'm a way better athlete than Goldberg I wasn't in the slightest trying to like disrespect him, but I can understand why I would be. If somebody did an interview now and somebody asked, like, you know, if Wardlow did an interview and they're like, what do you think about Ryback? I'm way better. Like, Ryback's nothing. And like, if he was being, it sounded like he, but whatever, you know, I'd be like, that's like, I don't think that's too kind on that. But, so I understood why, like when he heard that, why would he then want to, you know, say anything nice about me with it? But it was just as simple. I've talked about that multiple times. I apologize for it. I wish I would have answered that differently, because I didn't. It was never the intent to disrespect him on that. And I think he understood that later and as time went on and whatnot. So, but that's just something that comes with experience and speaking, and you got to. It's an unfortunate part of like when you do interviews and things with people will set you up with questions that you're just in the moment, and you're sometimes you just because you got to. But it's good to just take your time sometimes and just process it and let it just think about what they're asking, and just more often than not, you know, just saying, oh, I can't knock Goldberg. The guy was a former NFL player. You know, that guy is one hell of an athlete. I think I'm a great athlete too, but I wouldn't compare myself to him. I don't even think about that stuff. That answer right there, there's no headline out of that, right? Because it's a positive answer. It's a real answer in that, but I'm not like saying anything that they could take and blow up into a headline. Ryback claims he's a better athlete than Goldberg, because that's what they did and what they do with it. And then it's, you see that if you're Goldberg and you go on and you're like, who's this new guy that they're comparing to me? And oh, he says he's a better athlete. And then it's like, that guy seems like a bit of an asshole. That's how it starts, but you're not really, you know, and that's all it was. So yeah, nowadays people believe the tweets over a guy who streams every day and explains his side in brief. Yeah, that's just the world we live in. And I've talked to you guys, like, the more we, and this is what's going on. And I see a lot of kids, like, when I make my stuff, and like, I do the TikTok on with the Roman Reigns, like, watching the TikTok, which has 500 something thousand views. It's doing decent on that. But I put a thing on it, me watching WrestleMania, knowing I would win easy. All that is doing is that those people, I'm doing that to trigger them so that they will come and hate on me doing it. And it's going to help the good people see my post more, which is how that happens with that. And what I'm getting at with that, when this kind of stuff is people, a lot of young kids, and there's a lot of adults doing it, but a lot of young kids, they've grown up now with this technology and they don't understand how distracted they are. And they're just lost in the comments, arguing with people. They watch little videos and they see things. Ryback, oh, it's dangerous. Ryback's this, Ryback this. And then and they don't know. They didn't even watch. They weren't even old enough to remember when during my period. But they've seen a few videos, but they've obsessed. People that obsess over other people's lives are typically not obsessed enough with their own life, keeping the focus and attention on what they are doing and their loved ones and living in the real world as much as possible. And this is what you're seeing as a whole with social media. Everybody's getting distracted and obsessed over all these different issues, things rather than like, if you have a problem with certain things, what are you doing in your community to make a difference? You could be living a very positive, happy life, making a positive difference. Instead, everybody's obsessing and complaining and arguing, losing their lives in the comments. And this is happening at a mass level with all of social media. outside of the people that are aware enough to use it to their benefit and live their lives as much as possible in the real world. But that's what we see. We see it all the time. I see it in young people, and I'm like, man, these people have set themselves up for failure at such a young age. They don't even realize they're not even going to get a chance to fully capitalize on their lives because they have been embedded with being distracted, and like nobody's told them to like stop. Like, man, use this very sparingly. But like, don't get caught up in like this stuff and obsessing over other people and other people living their life, especially other people that aren't hurting anybody or doing anything. They're just doing what they love and they're passionate about. You don't like something, the best thing you could learn if you don't like something is to just tune it out. Block that if you don't like them, if you don't want to see it, or just don't comment and move on and focus on things that you do like, and your life will be better, I promise. Talked about Dominic yesterday. Going through, looking at your questions. Super chats are always appreciated. Do I have what heat with Paul London? Not at all. I've met Paul multiple times. Paul's a great guy. That's the most random question I think I've ever gotten on here. One of the most. I shouldn't say the most random. That would just very random question. Why did you get fired? I did not get fired. Thank you for playing. Walk away from a multi-million dollar contract that I still have in my office here, and that walk away or get fired, and then you tell people exactly what happened. They're like, no, you got fired. And I'm like, no, I'm like the person. I'm the person they gave it to. Like I'm the one that dealt with all of it. And they're like, no, you got fired. You were ass. You're horrible. I go, no, like literally, I did it. I really, here's the, you probably made, that's fake. You got fired. I heard Meltzer say it. Oh, okay. Like, what do you do with those people? I'll tell you what you do. You just block them and move on and go on. You're like, thank you for playing, Danny. Enjoy your life. Please try not to breed too much. The random was the, have you ever fallen for a popcorn selling? Yeah, that might Psycho Kid said that might be the most random yesterday show of the guy asking me if I hooked up with popcorn, chick selling popcorn. Like, I don't know what that, why they couldn't just be concession. Maybe that, but he, it just seemed like specifically just it was pop girls, just that standing by an individual popcorn machine at the arenas. Because that's what this guy saw. This is how I'm picturing it anyways. And it's just that, like, Ryback just had a thing for the popcorn selling chicks. ACW Online, thank you for the super chat. Would you like it if Randy Orton costs Cody the match? Also, if Roman loses, where does he go from there? I think that's actually a very good storyline. And I think that keeps Cody and Roman together probably for 2, 3, 4 months depending on how they book it with that. And I'm not against that at all. Now would Cody, you know, Cody, I'm sure them are fully aware of what the outcome is going to be. And maybe again, it's possible they don't. Maybe it's going to be a game day decision. But I just feel that Roman has been heavily protected and invested in, and we're getting so close to that 1,000 days. It just all depends on what their ultimate goal is. If Roman is that the focal point, which he has been, so it's either going to be Roman's been the focal point, and it's going to be shifted into Cody, and we are going with Cody for the next year or two on that, right? In which it leaves an interesting question, like, what do you do with Roman after that? You could do anything with Roman after that. He's already made. He's been made. With that, Roman can just be invested in good storylines. With that, he doesn't need championships to do that. And you can have Roman, though, and they've done this like Cena did. You can have Roman win the Intercontinental or the U.S. Championship and do open challenges. It all depends on what the storyline is at the time. You know, if he's going to take 4, 5, 6 months off, they've got plenty of time to let things breathe. People will be dying to see him again when he comes back, and he'll be in a huge capacity. In the storyline, his character is always involved in storylines, some better than others. But when you're involved in storylines, that's the focal point. That's what it should be for everybody at most points with that. But it's not always the case or always easy. I do like Roman costing Cody. I mean, sorry, I take that back. Randy Orton costing Cody the match at WrestleMania. I think it will get a hell of a reaction if Orton comes out from under the ring and RKOs Cody after Cody, and the match being well deep into the near falls, and however that story goes that they tell with that. And if Randy is the one, there's such a history there. It's so personal. That's instant Cody still. That's the top storyline, you know, going out. And what Roman does after that is who's going to dethrone Roman. That kind of that's, I think, an exciting thing moving forward. If you continue that storyline, he's literally beaten everybody. Who's going to stop him? So that's how that continues with it. But it's just finding opponents for him now to keep that going. Or are you going to rehash some guys? You want it to always be as fresh and interesting as possible. But only they know that what the direction is going to be. I like that though. If I'm in that position and I know it's not for me to win the title, I really like that pitch. If they're presenting that kind of a pitch to protect me, to keep me booked and for my character, that's a very good post feud for Cody. Hello, hello. Good to see all of you. Welcome to the Ryback Show, available on all podcast platforms. Good to see all of you today. Let me see here. Scrolling up a far way here, see, make sure I didn't miss anything. London was roasting your feeding time videos last night. I don't know. That's cool. I will, those feeding time videos, I will forever be proud of, because they're tied into me with Feed Me More Nutrition. And anybody that has any idea about business marketing, and I've told you guys multiple times the strategy behind that, and that I could do that for the rest of my life. And that is a very, very valuable revenue stream in multiple ways. So anyone could say whatever they want on any of that. Like I've built up one of the largest pro wrestling followings post WWE, and more followed than the majority of people on TV. So I will, anyone could say whatever they want on any of that. And this is all while being suppressed, by the way. So, which makes it even more impressive if you truly know what's going on. Hello, hello. Vince fired you. That's why you left WWE. That makes sense. Shell shock. Kicking out of finishers. Do you think it's overdone? Everyone has their preference on it. I'm very, all I could tell you is what my mindset on it is in psychology is I believe in protecting your finish as much as possible. I think it's just you just do different moves. If you're going to have the person kick out, I'm not a fan of. I'll tell you what I saw on Raw last night with the girls match. Was it Becky and the other girl with from Damage Control? Is that where she did the drop kick? She did some sort of a really impressive move, but it was the kick, and she did the huge and landed big bump on her back doing the drop kick. Cause I don't know if she did like something off the top. But she hit the mat hard. And if you're watching that, like I literally look at it, I go, damn, she hit hard on that. She no-sold it completely and popped right up with that. While Becky's already selling, the other girl's already selling on that. And I go, that's the kind of thing though, like stuff like that. I see that, it's like sell. And there's some talents that do this. If you ever watch like on superplexes and things, you need to be selling. Because everything, when I was a kid and I saw people, if they did it, I'd go, why did the guy giving the move that hit the mat just as hard as the guy that he gave the move to, why is he up? It's such a disconnect when you see that move is a desperation move psychology-wise. You are hurting yourself, but the hopes that you're going to hurt him maybe just a little more, and you need to be on the self. You ever watch me do things, you'll see I always set, like, it's a thing that matters, and you just acknowledge it, and you give it time, you let it, no one's going anywhere. You don't need to pop up. It looked like it hurt. Make the people believe it. Don't throw it away on that. But like, so that just reminded me of that when I saw that. But finishers, I just think like Undertaker, they and Shawn, when they did that, and it was so special, is because nobody had ever kicked out of the tombstone or very rarely, right, with it. And it's just, it makes it like you build up. And if you're towards the end of your career, and I think Undertaker probably thought he didn't realize he was going to probably go another 10, 12 with it, right? But that's where near falls. They started getting out of control with the finishers because people are replicating it. Like, my thing is like, because if you do it and people, this, it goes, you guys start taking 3, 4, 5 of your finish. And then like, then it's going to be, and then you got to just have top things where you're going to beat guys with it once. And that makes the other guys not look as good over time, whether you're meaning to do that or not. But you let so-and-so kick out of it 5 times, 4 times, 3 times, 2 times. And then when, like, the guys that just get beat with it once, you're like, it just kind of, you know what I mean? I just think in protecting it as much as possible with it. And then in very rarely, a very special occasion, the right time. That's up to the individual talent to want to protect their finish with it and just do other moves and do other things to get pins. You know, I'm even a fan of getting pinfalls and not always using your finish. If you want to do something and it's going to be the most impressive spot of the night and it's going to look great, let that be the finish. Let the crowd go crazy and then pop even bigger that it's the finish. And it's not a kick out on one or two, and there's going to be 20 more of those. But then you have people, it looks like a finish. It was a finish on it. It allows you to invest in other moves, and it conditions the crowd to make things that look really good can beat guys. Sometimes they don't connect as well. They don't beat them. And that could be told through the announcers and through, you know, so. But that's just how I view it, man. Hello, hello, hello. I don't regret anything in my career. Everything happens for my favor and benefit. You can never regret anything. Everything you do in life, you stick to it. You did it. It is what it is. And be grateful for everything. And I've always kind of just lived with that mindset. Super chat, Captain Solo, thank you very much. How are your dogs? And would you ever consider going to AEW? Big fan here. Keep up the great work, big guy. Well, that's a double dipping on the super chat there, Captain Solo. He starts off, I'm just making a small talk. How are the dogs doing, big guy? Hey, I was just wondering here. I'm with Sports Talk Radio. Are you going to AEW? How are those dogs, though? Starts off, hey, Captain, dogs are doing great. Sophie, little guy, just took him to the park earlier and gave him their treats, gave him some chicken after their walk. Going to play with them, take them outside and play with them a little bit after this and work on my shoulder, go work out. Oh, yeah, by the way, me and Tony have been in regular contacts and, yeah, probably debuting soon. Oops. No. I've told everybody when I get my documentation for my Ryback trademark, we will go from there. And I'm in 1 to 2 months on that. I was told no later than June, but should be a little before that. Hopefully a lot before that. And we'll see where the shoulder is. I continuously hours every day. And I feel great. I'm in fantastic condition, getting in better and better condition every week. And, you know, we'll see what happens with everything. Let me see here. We got a guy again spamming. Knock, knock, knock. Mother Ether, shell shock. But that's one thing. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. It's a great question on the kicking out of finishers, though. I don't think a lot of guys really think about that part of it. that I mentioned, that when you let a guy start, unless it's specific and it's for a special talent and there's a certain thing, someone's being really protected. But when you let people routinely kick out 2, 3, 4 times, and it's happening quite often, it kind of shits on the people you beat once with it. But that's just how people that watch this stuff, that view it, they might not even know it at the time, but they're watching. And, that's why I hate, when I see guys no sell, like the super kicks and the different things that are finishers and with others. And, they'll throw 10 at sometimes, and then they go back to throwing one and it works. It's just too much of a disconnect. And I've just always I like things to connect in this made up world as much as possible. So, but everybody has their own ideas and flavor of how they do things. And like I said, I could just control the things that I'm involved in and do, right? And so, that's how my mindset on it, because I'm not going to lose any sleep over, sitting in my head, hitting my head into my pillow, why are they kicking out of their finishers? And that, it's pointless. It's not, I control what you can control. We talked about back problems Monday. What has helped me is building a better core. Another thing, if you want to solve your back problems, I'm telling you guys, build up your glutes. Core is part of this, but your glutes, weighted hip thrust, whether it's through a machine at the gym, a lot of gyms have them, or with the barbell with the foam padding, you see all the fitness chicks doing it. Those weighted hip thrusts, I have videos of me doing them. Strong glutes lead to a strong back in doing other glute work. Whether you don't even have to squat or deadlift heavy with things, but using your glutes to squeeze at the top, doing things like wall squats where you squat front facing a wall, it teaches you how to break your hips properly and squeezing your glutes at the top portion of that. It's a great movement. Do it once a week, every week still. Just so, such a good movement with that. But like glute kickbacks, things like that. And I'm missing a really good one. The glute ham machine is another good one. That really work your glutes, that you hook your legs into, that I post them from my gym. I have a lot of gyms have it. Some gyms don't. But weighted hip thrust are one of the best things you could do for your glutes and for your back. Sand says, thoughts on Punk calling out Meltzer recently. I don't, that's just like Freddie versus Jason. Have at it, guys. Let you duke it out. Take each other out, please. Do the world a favor. That's my thoughts on it. Ryback versus Goldberg and Saudi. Sure, for $10 million. I'd go to Saudi for $10 million. I've been to Riyadh. Was it Riyadh once? It was an interesting experience. Great catering at the hotel, I will say that. But we were not allowed to leave the hotel. And when you're told there's beheadings down the road while you're in the hotel and they don't have vans for you to go to a gym, so you have to work out, which the gym they had at the hotel was more than, it was decent enough to get a good workout in. But I was like, when we're told we're not allowed to leave the hotel, and you stay in your room. You go down to the catering and stay. In route, you don't leave outside those doors unless it's to get on the bus to go to the arena, to come right back, and then to eventually to go straight to the airport. And it was that time I went, it was a very interesting experience. I'll say I was very grateful when we touched ground in the United States, and very thankful that I live in this great country. But great time, great fans. It's not. You want to be compensated if you're going over there, and you don't have to. Super chat, Jesse Saucedo. Thank you very much. Coming in with that 10 spot. Hi, Ryback, big fan. What was the plan with Nexus and Undertaker? I know Otunga told Barrett he was going to reveal why on Raw 2011. Yeah, there was something, and I'm not going to be, this isn't going to be like an entertaining answer or anything on this. It was, I think there was another plan in place with creative that we kind of thought, like we were talking, was it like a higher power Nexus, there was something like there was going to be a higher power, like sort of reveal, some sort of connection. And for whatever reason, I don't off the top of my head, I just remember it kind of us saying like, oh, I guess we're not doing that, or it kind of just going away. There was something that was discussed, and I don't know how serious it ever was. And I don't know if Undertaker was supposed to be involved at some point. Like, I don't know any of that. We weren't figured in enough. We were so brand new and just trying to go out there and do our jobs. And we got thrown into the mix right away, getting amazing reactions, great heat. And it was wild. So like, but we weren't like, you know, we're going day to day, you know, we're not like, what's the outcome here for our group? Like, we weren't even, you know, we weren't asking those questions, and nor we should we probably have had that wanted of, but that you don't make waves that early on when they're pushing you guys. And we didn't know how it was going to go eventually anyways. Right. But there was something, I think, creative. That's like things in wrestling, things will go great. And like, it was, it's awesome. I think the group made a memorable impact forever in pro wrestling in a short period of time. It doesn't matter how, I think is if a memory, if it's clearly remembered by fans, and we're all, I think, very proud of that. But the lifespan of it wasn't the greatest, but you know, I think they learned from some of those things too. And like the Shield group, it worked better for, and they were protected better overall, you know? And so it's unfortunately the role wasn't for us, even though it was a great opportunity and grateful for all of it. There's nothing to complain over that or anything, and with all of that. So, but I think that there's multiple ideas that are floated around that probably that higher power thing was done to a degree, and then not really completed or anything. So am I natty? No, I'm on TRT, HRT within the normal ranges, and have been since 28 on that. I've said it over and over. I don't abuse. I go get blood work twice a year most of the time, and like to stay in the mid high normal range on that. And that's what I've had. Low testosterone though, since I did when my cycles early on, very minor, my early 20s there for a few years, very little, very, not very often, but it was enough to shut down my production. And there was another thing too, not even that wasn't related, but it was just, I need to be on it. There's no other solution, unfortunately, with it. They call it primary hypogonadism with it. And it's like my weight too. Like I had low testosterone all throughout, like Nexus. I had low testosterone. The Nexus Ryback was natural on that. And like, that's me, what I look like with low testosterone with it. And I just knew, like, I was training. I go, man, I thought I looked good. I feel like I don't look nearly as good as I should for how hard I've been, my, you know, how good my diet and training. And then you go get blood work. I remember it was after my ankle injury, I had lab work done, and they go, your test, like, you're shot. Like, and I just go, what? I was 28. And so it was an easy decision. I go, I'm okay just living, being on it and being normal and feeling great and not having to worry. Most men are going to have to go on it anyways, if they want to feel their best and look their best. And I don't view that as like abusing steroids or being on steroids in that sense. It's on TRT, you know, but everybody, you know, has different views on that. But I go, if you're in the normal ranges, you're clearly, and yeah, maybe my levels are a little higher than guys that aren't on it as they're getting older, but it's the same or not as high as kids, you know? So, but you're not 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 times the testosterone levels of everybody else. That's abusing drugs, abusing steroids. And people that are doing that are usually doing a lot of other things. So do I think it's harder for the talent to get over when there's 200 people on the roster? No. So the roster size doesn't necessarily have anything to do with it. It's the, even though that it does have something to do with it, with what you're asking, I know, but it just comes down to, you've got to get consistent time on TV. Unfortunately, when you've got a lot of people on a roster though, and you try to keep people happy and you get people on TV, and where you need to kind of have a group that you're consistently putting out there and like for a pretty long period of time with it. And then in that, if there's like maybe one or two things that just aren't working after a certain lengthy period of time of seeing, then, you know, like, I think there's, this can be someone better. And so that's what I think is kind of going on, and it's just difficult with it. It's just, but it's a matter of, you just got to be figured in every week. It takes time for people to become stars, and you got to be on more often than not with it. And it's tough, and it's not easy, guys, into running a wrestling show. These guys, I was watching Raw last night, and them doing 3 hours every week, and I've lived it and been a part of it, and it's just, you just don't realize how many people it takes to put on a pro wrestling show at that level. And from the production standpoint and timing things out, there's so many people figured into making these things look so seamless and effortless, with from the graphics to the, from the promos leading into the matches and everything. Pro wrestling, it truly is just, it's so special and amazing that it comes off as flawless as it does more often than not, with how many moving parts there are on it. And, you know, and, but like, you've got two shows a week, and you've got an internet show, because I imagine you're referencing more AEW on that. I don't know. I've talked to people. They go, there's so many people backstage and people like that aren't wrestling and that are under contract. They're just not being used. And, you know, that's a lot going on, but you need to get the same group on TV more often than not. Or give like, because you give really fair chances investing into storylines, and you know, but the, you know, that show too, they there's stuff that's good on the storylines, and I can't control everything as a whole, and Tony has his views on how he likes wrestling and his version of wrestling, and I do believe they understand the importance of storytelling. I think more now than even prior before, and the longer he's in this and does this, I think he's just going to get better and better with it. But you know, it's difficult sometimes if you're just doing it from a bell-to-bell standpoint, and guys are getting switched out all the time. Even if they go to amazing, if it's not followed up with anything, that kind of just gets forgotten and lost in the shuffle. And it's, so it's where you really want to be invested in weekly. And it's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing. And like, I know what I know, and you gotta handle your own business, and you got, I'm very grateful for the things that I know and I learned and being in the business, and that I could watch and see what's going on and continue to learn from and whatnot. But you know, if you're, it's not easy. That's why I've talked to you guys about like the guys that everyone they're under contract should be hustling on social media, trying to get as over as possible, being themselves on it, because that translates into things. And like it's very important. Because it's like, how my thing is this, you should be doing everything. Take whatever I'm doing and try to do it in your own way on it. Everybody, you got it. Because you think if nothing's changed and you get your guy and you're just showing up to the arena and there's 200 people there and you're in spots 150 and 200, you know, how long are you going to have to wait for an opportunity? Probably a really long time. But I'll tell you what, if you're in that, you're doing everything right, you're working hard, you're getting a match here and there, but you're hustling on social media, you start getting hundreds of thousands of views, millions of views on social media, you start getting a following, and you're not hurting anybody, you're just being yourself, having a good time with it, and people are taking notice of you, and then they go, yeah, do you know so-and-so? He got like 50 million views on TikTok last month. Is like, he's got like 500,000 followers now on this. Maybe we should, maybe like this guy, I'm telling you, you're going to get an opportunity out of it. If you're doing everything else right and just hustling on social media, that is how you're going to get attention of your bosses and people at some point in time. Because if nobody else on TV is doing it, and you all of a sudden got millions of followers on the platforms on this, and they're not doing anything, they're going to try to probably find some way to capitalize on your viewers. And this is why I keep saying social media is very important. We don't realize it when you're there and you're on TV. I didn't realize it. I didn't have any of this stuff outside of Twitter and the Instagram. They made me make my last year, the social media guys. And I go, fine. I finally caved in and I made it overseas. And I told you guys this story. My first Instagram post is, I think, me powerbombing Luke Harper because Luke was eating. We were eating together at catering, and the social media guy's right across. And I make the account from him because he's like, will you make it now, please, so I can tell them you made one. And so I make it. And then I just, me and Harper had just wrestled recently. So I have the picture fresh. And I go, this is going to be my first post. And it's me like powerbombing him. Go look. There it should still be there. And that was how it was made. But you don't realize the importance of it with it and hustling. And that's what I would do, if especially realizing the importance of social media and growing your following, and keep working hard, keep positive, and keep trying different things when you get opportunities. But if you're not doing that, you're on a very slow escalator if you're trying to get to the top or make any real money in wrestling. Hello, hello, welcome, and thank you. Good to see all of you guys. I appreciate all the love and support here at the Ryback Show. Guys, please check out, I'm looking here to make sure. Please check out my Feed Me More Nutrition guys on feedmemore.com. We've got all the Ryback merch on there. We are going to wrap up today's show. And with that, is sweet sugar, sugar, those dreaded words. We're going to wrap up today's show, and I've got to get a lot of stuff done, but we'll be back. We'll be back. We got Wednesday, and we've got Thursday, and then we'll hopefully have another feeding time out Friday. The podcast version is always up shortly after the show, guys. Please subscribe, turn on those notifications, get that audio a quick little listen, even 30 seconds or a minute. Get that listen, keep that audio going up to get those numbers up on the audio with all of that. All right, guys, have a great one. Thank you very, very much. And until next time, my friends, stay hungry. Feed me more. Feed me more.